Welcome to the New Impact, presented every month on the fourth Tuesday on WHFR Dearborn, making waves on 89.3 FM.
Have you ever said, and thought, I didn't know that? Or, that's a different point of view?
Every fourth Tuesday, 89.3 listeners will have the opportunity to learn about the many organizations and people who are doing things for Dearborn and the Tri-County communities in Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb.
Impact is devoted entirely to the issues of interest to the 89.3 listeners.
Impact is part of WHFR's weekly talk show format, presented every Tuesday from 1 until 2 p.m., making waves from Henry Ford Community College radio station, broadcasting on 89.3 FM from Dearborn, Michigan.
Please tune in, and you might find yourself saying,
The following program is pre-recorded. It does not reflect the views of Henry Ford College, WHFR radio station, staff, or members. This is Betty Daniels, and welcome to Impact. And we have Mrs. Allen from Urban Solutions on the line with us. Ms. Allen, would you go ahead and introduce yourself and give your title with Urban Solutions?
Yes, I'm Nancy Allen, and I'm president of Urban Solutions Incorporated. And I want to really thank you for inviting Urban Solutions to be on your program.
Okay, very good. Now, tell us, what is Urban Solutions?
Urban Solutions is a community-based nonprofit corporation. We do primarily scholarships, but we also do programs for youth and also programs for senior health.
All right. Now, how did it come about?
Well, it started in 1982. It's sort of in honor of my father, Presley Green.
Mm-hmm.
He was a businessman in the city of Detroit. And one of the things he did, he had daughters, so he worked a lot with the young men in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt that if the young man was really trying hard and diligent, that they should be rewarded. And many times they couldn't afford to go to school, so Dad would pay for them and finance their education.
All right. Okay.
In 1982, some misguided youth killed my father at his place of business. And we, of course, received money from some people from at the funeral, and we decided, what could we do with it?
Mm-hmm.
The family, we decided that we would start a scholarship program in Dad's name.
All right. Okay. And how? So when you first started out, how much were we talking about then?
We were talking about the very first scholarship we gave. We've been pretty consistent in giving $1,000.
Okay. All right. Okay. And then what were some of the ups and downs of that, trying to get it started?
Pardon?
I say, what were some of the ups and downs, you know,
It wasn't really too hard. Dad graduated from Cass himself in 1931, so we decided to start out kind of small.
Mm-hmm.
And give this scholarships to students from Cass majoring in engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And we established, we were trying to figure out how we could raise money and not spend money, because we didn't want to have banquets and dinners and things like that where you had to spend money.
All right, all right.
So we decided that what we would do is have a stay-at-home tea.
Okay, I saw that in your website, and I was kind of like, now how is that going to work? Okay.
Surprisingly, it worked really, really well, because what happened, we started that in 1982, but then as time went by, we got sponsors.
All right.
And the sponsors were community people that were interested in doing the same thing we were doing. We approached people by saying, you know, you may have a loved one that you wanted to honor, or this may be something that you always wanted to do, is give a scholarship. And it's quite a bit of work, because you have to work very closely with the schools. And by this time, we had broadened our base and said not just past students, but anyone that lived in the city of Detroit would be eligible.
Mm-hmm.
we had a lot more schools and counselors to work with to make sure they had the information. The information got to the kids got the information back to us, and that kind of thing. So it's kind of time consuming. And a lot of people would be surprised. They say, oh, you know, I always wanted to do that, but I don't have time.
Okay.
Oh, so we have time.
Okay. Now, before we go to bed, before we go back, for some people, they do not know what a stay-at-home tea is. Could you tell them what a stay-at-home?
Oh, that's interesting, because we did have a person one time show up at our house. when we first started doing the stay-at-home tea, we would put a date on it, you know, and say stay-at-home tea, and it would be on Sunday, da-da-da-da-da, and would you get your teacup at this time, and, you know, and drink tea with us.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we send you an invitation, and in the invitation there is a tea bag.
Okay.
And people who have been getting it for 30 years now, if they see me on the street and they haven't gotten their tea bag, they say, where's my tea bag? But you get a tea bag, and then you brew our tea in your favorite cup.
All right, and they send the money into you. Is that the way it goes?
They send the money into us.
Okay, all right, okay. Now, but you were talking about, so then for the people, she started with stay-at-home tea, and then you got the sponsors. Do the kind of things kind of grow, you know, concurrently, or how?
It grew just bit by bit. Now, we have a board. So some of our board members said, you know, they wanted to do it. Betty Howard, like her husband was a electrician.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, he worked with young men because he felt that they needed a trade.
All right.
You know, I wanted to do this for my husband.
All right.
And then Summer Swartz, a law firm, that was the first corporate sponsor we got. Attorney Kenneth Watkins got that sponsor for us. He's one of our vice president of our board.
Mm-hmm.
And then Betty and Vince Little, who had a business in the city of Detroit. They have a UPS store. And in their UPS store, one of their goals is to train young people so that people have a business experience.
All right.
And they felt that they wanted to. They said, well, you know, this would be a good thing for us to do, is to give a scholarship. And they do the money that they give us, we use it a little bit differently because they want to use it for a book award. So we do $500 book awards, and they did 5 last year.
Okay, now help me understand what's the difference between what they're doing, their awards, and what you were doing. What's the difference?
So it's really the same. It's primarily the amount. And they did 5 $500 book awards,
mm-hmm.
which would allow, which is $2,500 that they raise.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids can use it for books, or they can use it however they need.
Okay, but it's labeled books, but it's anything that has applied with them maintaining their coursework. Is that the way it goes?
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right. How often is a person able to take advantage of your scholarship?
Well, our scholarships right now we're just doing for high school students going into their freshman year.
All right.
Yeah, we have talked a number of times about expanding that, but we haven't been able to do that just as of yet.
All right. Now, now that you have a scholarship, and I was looking on your website, and there was programs that you have listed, and what are the different programs that you have? You're under your Urban Solutions website, under programs, you have different programs listed.
Yeah.
And one of them is the Senior at Risk, and then there is a youth prevention outreach. And can you describe those programs to me?
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, now the programs I just got through telling you about, the scholarship program, that program is funded strictly through the community and through our sponsors that give to the program.
Mm-hmm.
But for our other programs, what we do is they are sponsored primarily through grants.
All right.
What happened with our, I'm going to talk to you about our HIV program now.
All right.
What happened with our HIV program is that it came to our attention. My husband was on the board of Detroit Area Agency on Aging. And they have, they were concentrating on seniors dying before their time.
All right.
And going through some of the things that cause seniors to become ill and die. And one of them was HIV/AIDS.
All right.
Everybody look at you like, HIV/AIDS? What's that got to do with old people?
Okay.
And what happens is that as they get older and they're still sexually active, but they're not protecting themselves because they're not concerned about getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So the protection, you know, just really doesn't really cross their mind.
All right.
But it's just as important for our seniors to protect themselves as it is anyone else. So we figured, how are we going to get this message across? So we worked, with, of course, with some focus groups to get started after I got the statistics from the CDC, and they were alarming.
Mm-hmm.
And so we worked with some focus groups, and I was surprised to learn that they were just like me. They didn't have a clue. They did not even think about HIV and seniors.
All right.
Then the next thing we wanted to do was figure out an engaging way that we could give our message, because, you know, as you get older, you don't always read as much as you would as a younger person, and you probably wouldn't want to read anything about HIV anyway.
Right.
So we decided what we wanted to do was to do a video.
All right.
And, of course, everybody looked at me like I was crazy, and I said I wanted to do a video on HIV seniors. They said, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, okay. And then, Empowerment Zone, which mm-hmm. was in business at the time, said they would take a chance on us. And so we put together a video, and I'd like for you to see it, too, so maybe I can send you a copy.
All right. We will have to follow up on that. That's definitely was something that I would be interested in hearing about. Okay.
Yes, I think you will really like it. You know, we got an award for it, an International Crystal Award for Communications.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah, for the video, because we use vignettes to tell how seniors get it. One of the ways they get it, of course, is in your senior buildings,
mm-hmm.
both by young people coming in, servicing older people, and then older people servicing each other.
Oh, okay. All right. All
then
right.
You have, with older people, you interview.
Well, I would not have thought that.
Yeah, because what I learned, and I was talking to my seniors, is that I guess heroin is a drug of choice.
All right, I know it, I do remember some statistics saying that it's back on the rise, and you know, it used to be, you know, something back in the day.
Yeah, they're using it from back in the day because it's a drug that they can use and not abuse.
Oh, okay.
They can use it over a long period of time.
Oh, okay.
Years and years and years, and not really, it doesn't interfere with their work, or, you know, they can just do it on the weekend. But the one thing that they do is that they share needles.
Oh, okay.
And that causes a problem.
Okay. Never would have thought it. Okay.
Yeah, this is it. You know, you never.
So now you got two different things going on. Here we got some more. So you got concurrent thing, you know, parallel, not parallel, but, you know, concurrent things going on that had two, you know, the youth, and then you have the seniors.
Right.
And when do you have a time for all these kind of different? I know who works on what, who works on A, who's on first, and who's on second. I guess that's the question.
It sounds like it's complicated. But it is really not, because with the senior program, what I did was we reached out to the community and found people that were interested in helping other seniors know about this, and we had a training session and we used the film as a training tool, and then they went out and talked to other seniors.
So, I see.
That's a separate activity going on.
All right. All right.
The scholarship program, of course, is not like a year-round thing. We only have to raise money and give a scholarship.
All right. Okay. Now, because when I saw it on the website, I thought you were talking about high school seniors, but you were talking about senior adults.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So that's something, a clarification for everybody.
Oh, you thought it was high school seniors?
Yes. When I saw seniors at risk, I thought high school. Because Urban Solutions, just my, you know, narrow thinking, forgive me.
Oh, but no, that should not have been. But now that you bring it up, our program that we just did a couple of years ago with Youthville, we did do youth and young people, but they weren't all high school seniors. They were high school students.
Okay.
But that was really an enlightening thing, too, because of the fact that I had worked with senior citizens, and I found that the young people and the senior citizens knew the exact same thing, nothing.
You know, and what we're finding out that there is they tend to work together better with each other than the moms of the mothers and fathers of the youth and the children of the seniors. They're to be all busy earning the money while the grandparents and the youth are communicating. All right, now the youth prevention outreach program. What is that?
Okay, now that is the program that we did with Youthville.
All right,
and we only had a one time grant for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did was that we did a program. We're licensed by the state of Michigan as a prevention agency.
All right.
So we did a program there on alcohol, drugs, and tobacco prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And since we were already experts on HIV, we threw that in too. And that's when we learned that the young people, they don't know too much about it either. They and the older people have about the same attitudes.
Okay. I'm too young or I'm too old or it won't touch me.
Right, it won't touch me.
Okay, all right.
So what they did after they learned, they put together some PSAs.
All right.
And they were cute. Nothing I would have thought of, but we let them write and shoot and direct and edit. So
all right.
I think that they're on the website too.
All right. The PSAs are on the website because I would like to be able, possibly maybe be able to run some of them during the program, so the people can hear just what the product of with other youth that you work with. But,
okay. Yes. What I'll do is let me go back and check my website, because if not, I'll get my webmaster to make sure you get them.
All right. Now, when
I think there's a synopsis of the seniors at risk on there also.
All right. Now, the youth prevention program, is that related to the scholarship or is that something different?
No, it's not related to the scholarship. The scholarship is sort of like our flagship program that we have had for the whole 33 years that we've been in existence.
All right, okay. And then how old is the youth prevention program then?
The youth prevention program is not an ongoing program.
Okay.
We only are able to do that when we get funding.
I see. All right, now I understand what you're saying. Okay. Now, and then the other thing that you have up here is called Be Part of the Solution.
Yes.
Okay, now what is that program?
Okay, now what we want there is for people to work with us, especially on our scholarship program. That is our solicitation, asking them really for money. If they don't have money, then maybe they have time.
Mm-hmm. And okay, now on your, you've got the senior, so right now your ongoing activities are the senior at risk and then the scholarship programs, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, okay. And do you have certain goals that you set for each one of those programs?
Well, with our seniors at risk program, our main goal was to change the beliefs and attitudes of seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did, we have a pre and post test that we give. And it's not so much that you have to know a lot, but how you feel about things and what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you go through our program and everything, we give you a second test to see if we have changed any of your attitudes.
Oh, I see. So
or any of your thinking.
So it's like an education awareness type of thing, as well as, I don't want to assume. So the Senior at Risk program is increasing the awareness and the understanding of HIV and where it is within the senior community. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Do you go out into the community to, make these presentations? How would somebody go about trying, contact?
We do go out into the community. We haven't gone out into the community the last couple of years because, again, it's based on whether or not we have funding for these programs.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of the money that we raise through the T, all of those dollars go toward the scholarship program.
Oh, I see.
So in order for us to do that program, we do have to have grants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last grant we got from Detroit Area Agency on Aging.
All right. Okay.
That's been a couple of years ago.
All right. Now, your activities on the year around basis, when is your peak time for? Now, Urban Solutions is the scholarship program, is that correct?
Yes. All right. All of the whole everything is Urban Solutions, but the scholarship program is the ongoing program.
All right, okay. And then is there an ongoing staff, or is the how do you know manpower, where is the manpower coming from?
It's all volunteers.
Okay.
I was telling you about my board members. I didn't, the ones that give also are responsible for work.
Mm-hmm.
We get together and, keep the scholarship application. It's online and with the counselors, keep it updated.
Mm-hmm.
Meet with the counselors. We don't have to meet with them as much now as we did in the past. With all the electronic media, that's really helped a lot because you can email and Facebook and do all those things to get to communicate with people.
All right. Okay. Now, so your volunteers, and then it's who heads up the volunteers, who coordinates and leads the charge.
And now, the volunteers, the main time that we need volunteers is when we get the applications back.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask different people in the community, some retired teachers and some active teachers and some just community people, to review all of the applications, and we usually get 80 or 90 applications.
All right.
And then we interview the top, the top 20 people will be interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Here again, we ask for volunteers throughout the community, and we have a scoring sheet. We have a criteria that's all spelled out, and then we also have a sheet that you can use for scoring and evaluating each student.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
Based on that information, the committee decides which students are going to be awarded scholarships. And then we usually we've been having a small little lunch to award the scholarships to the students.
All right. Now, I heard you say that it starts out in the Detroit area. Could a person who does not live in the Detroit area be eligible for the scholarships, or do they have to live in the Detroit area?
They have to live in the city of Detroit.
Okay. All right. Is it public schools, or is it any person just long as
any school that they want to. They can go to school outside of the city. They can go to any school, but they have to live in the
okay,
city.
They have to be a Detroit resident. All right. And the other question I was going to ask you was, now your board, I'm still more or less trying to get the staffing. So it's more or less is that when you start, okay, what is the deadlines, okay, for submission and or applications for the grant?
Okay, for the applications for the scholarship?
Yes, I'm sorry, scholarships, yes.
Okay, this year is May 1st,
mm-hmm.
2015.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And let's see, the 1st of February, by the 1st of February, the applications will be online.
All right. Okay.
Just finalizing them right now.
Oh, all right. Okay. Okay. Very, very good. Oh, okay. And your board is about how many members now?
9 members.
I'm sorry. Say it again, please. I didn't hear. I didn't understand the number.
Said 9.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Now, you said this started out as a dream. It was done in memory of your father. Is it still up and going, or do you see yourself sometime where you may have to hang up your mantle and let someone else take over, or just, you know, where is it? Where do you see yourself? Where do you see your urban solutions going at this point?
I can hang up my mantle one day. We still have it's still called the Presley Green Stay at Home Tea.
Mm-hmm.
And my children are involved. And so I'm hoping that they will be involved enough to keep it going.
Okay. Okay. And if you would try to get a count of how many people you think you've serviced so far up to this point, how many people do you think would be?
Let's see. We have probably given about 200 scholarships.
Okay. Over the period of time. All right. And wait a minute. And I don't remember, can we call what your answer said about them coming back for, is it a one-time only? No.
Yes, it's a one-time only scholarship. However, if a student finds themselves in trouble and we have some money, we will most certainly help them.
Okay. All right. Okay. And if someone wanted to contact you to get some additional information, what number would they contact?
They can call me at area code
313-17-1926. Mm-hmm. Okay. Say that again a little bit slower, please.
Okay. 313-617-1926.
Okay. And if they want to reach you on, are you on, you're under Urban Solutions on the, your website is Urban Solutions?
Yes.
Okay.
UrbanSolutionsInc.org.
Okay. Very, very good. And if there were 3 things that you wanted the listeners to remember about Urban Solutions, what would those things be?
Well, I guess the one thing I'd like for them to remember that this is a community effort. And our scholarships are something that we've been doing for the last 33 years, and we want to continue to do them. It's so important that we educate our young people. And another thing I wanted to say about the scholarship is that the scholarship helps the student. Many times a student will get other scholarships because we're only giving them $1,000. You can't go to school on $1,000.
Right.
But a lot of times you get a scholarship, and you still can't go to school because you can't get there. You don't have books. You can't pay the fees. And so our money can be used for those kinds of things.
All right. Okay. Yeah. That's 2 things. You got one more thing. What other thing would you want?
And the other thing is I want my seniors to be aware of the health issues that concern them. And I'd like for them to be able to see the video. It was on television a couple of times. Seniors at Risk, Comcast Cable ran it for a while when it first was out, and I'd like to, if possible, get that opportunity again.
Okay, all right, go ahead. Now, if someone wanted to contact you about either program, about the Senior at Risk program, would they use that same telephone number or would they use a different one?
Yes.
They would use the same one?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Ms. Allen, thank you very much for sharing about Urban Solutions. And now repeat those telephone numbers again one more time for us.
Okay. Area code 313-617-1926.
Okay. And your website is Urban Solutions, Inc., correct?
Yes. UrbanSolutionsInc.org.
Okay. Thank you very much. And this is Betty Daniels from Impact saying thank you very much for tuning in. And stay tuned for our next segment.
Hey, knucklehead, what are you doing?
Just throwing away this old WHFR loyal listener guy.
Well, make sure you recycle it, lame brain.
I know.
Better yet, why not save a tree and sign up for the WHFR e-newsletter instead?
WHFR has an electronic newsletter?
Yeah, you just need to go to their website, pay attention when I'm talking to you, WHFR.fm, and hit the sign-up link. It has all the same bells and whistles of the paper newsletter.
Really?
Yeah, it's the most up-to-date WHFR info sent right to your email box. You got one of those, don't you?
Yeah, I got 3 of them.
Ah, you wise guy. Think about it.
Yeah. No more running up to the record store to get my copy and saving me on gas, too. Info sent right to my email box. That makes me very happy.
Well, okay, Mr. Happy. Let's go to WHFR.FM right now and sign you up.
Yeah, let's go do it.
It's informative, quicker, and easier on the environment. It's the WHFR Electronic Newsletter. Visit our website, WHFR.FM, and sign up today.
If you want to change the world, then you have to change yourself. One of the best places in the Metro Detroit area to improve your life is Henry Ford College. Henry Ford College offers dozens of degree and certificate programs, plus the opportunity to network with your peers and potential employers. Taking classes at Henry Ford College gives you the freedom to take your own career path and opens up an infinite number of career possibilities. Additionally, day and evening classes allow you the flexibility of building a schedule tailored to your busy lifestyle. So change the world, change yourself at Henry Ford College. For more information on admittance and financial aid and class schedules, call the Henry Ford College toll-free number at 1-800-585-HFCC. Again, that's 1-800-585-HFCC.
Welcome back, and this is Betty Daniels with Impact, and we have with us now Father Anthony Fox from the Gabriel Richard Center, and he's going to give the exact title completely. So, Father Anthony, would you go ahead and introduce yourself and your program?
Sure. Thank you, Betty. My name is Father Anthony Fox. I am a conventual Franciscan priest who is the campus ministry at the Gabriel Richard Newman Center on campus between Henry Ford College and University of Michigan.
All right. Yes, and I just talked to Father Anthony earlier, and it's at a very convenient location, but it's like it's on a little cul-de-sac. That was what it is. And it's kind of almost like a retreat environment, but right there in the middle of two very big, busy campuses at the same time.
Yes. It's a little oasis. In between the busyness of life that goes on both campuses.
Yes, and that's probably the best way to describe it, as an oasis. And I was also telling Father Anthony that the way I heard about this particular center was through a young man who attends Henry Ford College, and he was very excited about sharing the fact that it was there for students as a way of stepping out of the hustle and bustle, if you will. And that was Justin as well. So he was very excited about that and wanted to, let people know what was there, of the oasis that was there between the campuses. Now, yes. You were telling me how this center came about. Why don't you share that with our audience?
Well, the center was built around 1972 by the Archdiocese of Detroit to be a place for young college students to come into contact with the living out of their faith,
mm-hmm.
And so it would be a Catholic presence on campus.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about Father Richard, too.
Well, the center is named after Father Gabriel Richard,
mm-hmm.
who was an early pioneer of the Catholic faith in the state of Michigan,
mm-hmm.
and was actually the founding, along with a Protestant minister, of the University of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the board of directors right up until just before his death. So he's an important figure in Detroit and an important figure for Michigan, and so the center was named after him.
All right. And I need to alert our audience is that when those of us who are Americanized, it looks like Gabriel Richard, but it's pronounced Gabriel Richard.
Richard, because yeah. He was a French priest, and so Richard is the French pronunciation.
Okay. Now, describe the facility for us, please.
Well, it's a small building in the middle between the two campuses,
mm-hmm.
and it's opened for young Catholics on campus,
mm-hmm.
who want to continue with the practice of their faith and have a place on campus that they can come to attend Mass, which we have 4 days a week, and we do have Bible study and prayer and praise and worship and fellowship together, so just to be a support to one another as they continue studies on campus. But it is also a place of welcome for all people of faith, That's what I've tried to achieve in my time here, is to make it a place of welcome for everybody.
Yes. Now, I was also, you were also sharing that Mr. The Secret, is that his name, who was having his yoga classes there?
Yes, last semester, the professors and faculty who like yoga didn't have a place to meet, and so he contacted me and asked me if the center was available for them to do that, and I sure certainly agreed. And so they came for the whole of the last semester to do some relaxation and exercises, and most of them said that it was a nice place to come because it was rather tranquil and rather peaceful. So it was a good environment to be able to sort of relax and do meditative exercise.
Right. Now, could you, because when I was there, there was a pool table. So describe how the setup and stuff like that for the people.
Okay, it's one large room, which takes up the whole of the building, that has a pool table, has some tables and chairs for people to sit around and to spend time together. It has a lounge area for people to be comfortable with. It has an area there where we can celebrate Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Then along the other side of the building is the prayer room for
mm-hmm.
people to make some time for quiet prayer. A working room for all sorts of different things. And, of course, the campus minister's office.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when I saw the prayer room, it's like a mini chapel. It kind of reminds you of the chapel that you... not quite as large as some, but it's still enough space so you're not in a closet. Okay, it is a room,
it's
and
not,
it
squeezed into a small space. But
right,
it's a decent amount of space, but at the same time,
yes.
An intimate space.
Right, right, and see with this describing the different designated areas. It is large, but it's not it's intimate environment the same well. So
it is, yes.
Yes, yes, okay. And then some of the activity, I know you were talking about one of the young men there, and I don't know if are they handy around there? Remember, I wanted to talk to the guy as well. But anyway, some of them are play during
during the worship service.
The worship service, okay. They're probably busy right now, right?
They're chomping on their pizza and... getting ready for their movie that they're going to have this evening.
Okay.
And we have a visiting group from campus, also the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship group, are here this evening just to, to spend time and meet each other and share sort of fellowship as fellow Christians,
All right. Okay. Now, so how did that particular, is that something that's ongoing or is that something that just happens,
Well, one of the members of our fellowship, invited them, and so we responded by saying, "Okay, we would be available and around to welcome them." And so it is the first time we've actually done that, and so it seems to be going well at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just last semester, we had an open cider house all day, and some of them came across to have some cider and some cake and donuts and so forth. So it was a good day also.
Okay. All right. Now, what other types of sounds like you were pretty much open to, just like you say, you're open to the community and you're open to receiving people.
We even though we're on campus to outreach to members of the Catholic faith, it certainly doesn't exclude people other than who are not Catholic. So it's my sort of vision to see the place as a place of welcome for all people who come through the door, that no matter what persuasion of faith or no faith, if they just want to take some time away from the maddening crowd, so to speak, well, this facility is here to do that.
Okay. All right. Now, you're there, what are the times of the program? What time?
On Monday and Tuesday, I'm here from midday until 5.
Mm-hmm.
At 12:15 we have Mass,
mm-hmm.
Mondays and Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
Then Tuesday evening I'm here from 7 o'clock until around 8:30, quarter to 9, depending. where we have a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wednesday, I'm here from 12 o'clock until almost 10:15 when we have Mass in the evening and then a meal together and then some time of praise and worship. Then on Thursdays, again, I'm there from 12 until 5 with a Mass at 12:15.
Okay. Now,
and the mass also, I need to emphasize also, is a quick Mass, because I know that students, have to take their lunch break and then have to get back to class. So
mm-hmm.
the Mass itself wouldn't take any more than 20 minutes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, let me ask you this. What has been some of the changes or things that have been a part of the center since, I know that you've only been there a year, but what are some of the things that have gone on in the center that you've heard about, during the time that it's first opened?
Well, it's been a place particularly been a place of meeting for people, and I know that some people who came here in the early days met their wives or their husbands and married,
mm-hmm.
And it's also been a place to outreach to people of other faiths. Particularly in my last year, I was on an interfaith committee with people who are Muslim and Buddhist and Hindu and so forth, so that we actually, break down the barriers of getting to know each other and to share with each other, even though we are people of faith and different faith expressions, we are on the same journey together as people of faith, so it's important to be able to to talk to one another and hear one another and share one another's stories and appreciate those stories.
Okay. Now, how long did this, for what period of time did this interfaith event go on? How many days? Was it just one day?
It was almost 8 months of preparation for a gathering here in Detroit in last August for an international gathering that took place of interfaith leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was on the committee, and so were some people members from U of M and from Henry Ford to sort of be the liaison for young people as the young people strand of that particular conference took place.
Okay, so what were some of the things that occurred at this conference?
There were lots of testimonies from people of different faith backgrounds. There were visits to places of worship as mosques and churches and synagogues. And there was stories of the early slave trains,
mm-hmm.
that took place. There was some inter-dialogue about the Indian culture that was here in Michigan in the early period of its history and so forth. So, it was a time to allow Detroit to shine from something other than that Detroit is known for. So.
Okay, now was this in Detroit or Dearborn itself?
It was in Detroit itself, but one of the places of worship was the Great Mosque that's here in Dearborn. So
okay,
many of the participants came here to actually visit that mosque.
Okay, all right, very very good. Now you were telling me some of the things that you would like to see happen, or the uses that you would like to see for the center.
Well, as I said, Eamon, I would like to see the Gabriel Richard Center seen as a place of welcome, as a place to come and to spend some quiet time if students wished. If they wanted to come and study, they could do that in the quiet of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be here for anybody who is in need, particularly, if somebody wants to talk or to chat or just to, be a person here and a facility here that is willing to give a listening ear.
Okay. Now, if a person was trying to, you have an address, but people need to be guided.
Sure, yes. Well, we're on the north entrance of the U of M campus,
mm-hmm.
Off Evergreen Road.
Mm-hmm.
So we're 5001 Evergreen Road. There are two signs on either side of the building that indicate that, one on the Henry Ford side and one on the U of M side. We do have a Facebook page, which is Gabriel Richard Center.
Okay, say that one more time.
It is at Facebook, Gabriel Richard Center.
Okay.
And we do have a phone number. It's 313-271-6000.
Okay, I give the number again.
313-271-6000.
All right. And there
they can call that number and just find out about what, you know, when they're open, what kind of things are going on and that type of thing. Are people able to become a part of your activities? You know, what kind of, do you have kind of a volunteer group that kind of like works with you, or just how does that go about?
I have one person who volunteers with me, who's sort of my expert in the jack of all trades of, you know, sort of maintenance and computers and everything else like that. But, you know, basically the students who come here sort of help out in all sort of different capacities. So, you know, there's some people who are sort of a welcoming committee and others who, you know, sort of try and take on the responsibilities of you know, keeping the place tidy and so forth.
All right. Okay. And I'm looking at your brochure. So it looks like your long days are Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yes.
And then Monday and Thursday are your 11.
Days.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. So on Mondays is Mondays and Thursdays is 11 to 5. And then
well, really 12 to 5. Yeah.
12 to 5, okay. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday is 12 to 10. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Now, are there standard activities during that time, or that's just the hours that the center is open?
Well, as I said, on Tuesday nights we have Bible study.
Okay.
And then on Wednesday night, it's Mass, dinner,
okay.
And then the time of fellowship and praise and worship.
Okay. Is there a charge to be a part of the program?
Well, no.
Okay. Okay. He was very emphatic about that one.
I see what we want to be as welcoming and as friendly as possible.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, if there's three things that you wanted people to take note of as they, as we get ready to close, what three things would you want them to take note about the great, it's the Gabriel Richard Newman Center. Did I do that correctly?
You did.
That's okay.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Basically, I would say that, you know, that we're here,
mm-hmm.
and that we are here for all students on campus,
mm-hmm.
That we would welcome anybody who comes through the door,
mm-hmm.
and that this place is a place, an oasis, in the busyness and madness of study and so forth, for quiet and peace and recreation.
Okay. And again, the contact number is?
313-271-6000.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's Father Tony will be more than likely the person that will answer the phone, correct?
That would be, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much again for sharing with us on Impact at WHFR. And that concludes our program for today on the Fourth Tuesday Impact. Look forward to seeing you the same time, same place. This is Betty Daniels. I'm thanking you again for being with us on Impact.
Looking for some good news? Tune into Impact the 2nd, 4th, and 5th Tuesdays of the month at 1 p.m. Impact is about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. You can hear that good news from Lynn and Betty, and who knows, you might be inspired to make an impact yourself. That's Impact every 2nd, 4th, and 5th Tuesday at 1 p.m. right here on WHFR 89.3 FM, the station making waves.
Henry Ford College in Dearborn, Michigan is a comprehensive public college serving about 18,000 students each year in Southeast Michigan. HFC is dedicated to preparing students for the rapidly changing workplace in today's world by offering more than 100 associate degree and university transfer programs. HFC also specializes in customized workforce development training for business and industry. Since its founding in 1938, HFC has been the gateway to higher education for thousands of students who seek an affordable, high-quality post-secondary education. To learn more about what HFC has to offer, please visit us at www.hfcc.edu or you can call the campus office at 1-800-585-HFCC. Your future begins now, and it begins right here at Henry Ford College. Thank you.